जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नतलीला प्रविष्टोम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की हेमनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री 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 गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्रील प्रभुपाद नमोम शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णव श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वन्नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःखशमनम तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सूरयम् तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद् अवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहावां पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदानेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारेर्मधुरीम्ना कणिकावि कावि कावि नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूदले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिधि नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषशून्यवादी పాశ్చాత్యదేశదారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాగాలయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మోగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are now discussing what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in the 14th chapter about bhakti. Krishna, as you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you go through the Ekadasha Skandam, which is the 11th canto, you will see there that the from 7th chapter, Krishna started instructing Uddhava directly. Isn't it? Earlier, prior to that, we have seen the Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, which is an important discussion in the Srimad Bhagavatam between King Nimi and the nine sages, Navayogi. Each of these Samvadam means the association between two great souls. When that happens, obviously, in that discussion, there will be matters related to self-realization. That's why it is so important. When King Nimi met the nine sages, Navayogis, they did not talk about mundane things. Instead, they spoke about the self-realization, a process of self-realization, and various questions that was raised by Nimi. And in answer to that, nine questions, Navayogis, the nine sages, answered. That is what we see in the Ekadasha Skandam, the first few chapters. So therefore, that discussion is very important in the Bhagavatam, because it is that Nimi Navayogi Samvadam that comes out in an expanded form in Krishna Uddhava Samvadam later. Samvadam means a mutual questioning and answering. Uddhava raises the question, Krishna answers them. So first we have in Bhagavatam, we have Nimi Navayogi Samvadam between Nimi and the Navayogis, the nine sages, and then later on an expanded version of that between Krishna and Uddhava. There is not much difference. The principles involved in both are the same. Earlier you have seen between Vidura and Maitreya Samvadam. A great personality like Vidura, he goes to sage Maitreya, and Maitreya Maharshi seeing Vidura and his all these personalities, what you will find interesting about them is they are finished with this material world. They have no interest in this world anymore. Vidura, after his experience in Hastinapur with among the Kshatriyas, what Vidura has seen, none of us have seen what Vidura has seen in his life. Vidura says about that, these Kshatriya kings, he says, with all their opulence what they had, and their greed for the power and the wealth, and the way they used to fight each other for imposing their authority in this world. Seeing that, Vidura got disgusted and walked out from the palace of Hastinapur. This is what happened If you look into the Mahabharatam, you will see the same thing. And it's spoken about that in the third canto of Bhagavatam also. And that's when Vidura leaves home. Then Vidura wanders around the whole country, visiting all the holy places, the important temples and many ashrams, trying to visit the sages, meet devotees, and so many places. He's just wandering around all over the country. Eventually, Vidura comes back, wanted to see Krishna. By then, Krishna has left the world. And Vidura felt a little bit upset about that. But fortunately, he meets Uddhava in Vrindavanam. Uddhava spoke to Vidura and told him to go to Haridwar to meet Maitreya Maharshi there. So Vidura goes to Haridwaram, and between Vidura and Maitreya, there is a discussion, which is not much different than what you will find in the other samvadam, other discussions. In all these discussions, the topic that is discussed is about the soul, not about the body. Not about the body. That's why it is outstanding. It is somewhat very interesting for those who wants to advance on the spiritual path. It is interesting. For those who are absorbed in the body, it's not interesting. It's not interesting. So, Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, Shri Krishna and Uddhava Samvadam, Nivi Namayogi Samvadam, and similarly you will notice Brahma Narada Samvadam, Lord Brahma and Sri Narada Maharshi discussing mutually about the spiritual reality, about the absolute truth. That is Brahma Narada Samvadam. Shuga Parikshit Samvadam, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit discussing mutually about that. Sudha Shaunaka Samvadam, Sudha Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi discussing in Naimisharanyam. Bhagavadam is a combination of all these things. So when you come to Ekadasha Skandam, in this canto 11, what you will see now is that Krishna has spoken to Uddhava about various spiritual masters. 24 spiritual masters he has spoken. And after that, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, actually, you do not require so many spiritual masters. There is only one spiritual master is sufficient. But for one who is looking for self-realization, the whole world is a spiritual master. There is so many things to learn from this very world where we are living. This world, Krishna says, is an opportunity to understand the spiritual reality behind it. So that is how that discussion carried on between Krishna and Uddhava. And Krishna spoke in the 10th chapter, if you see, you will notice there that the very precisely the system of guru-disciple relationship, qualifications of the guru, qualifications of the disciple, and a discussion about the absolute truth. Varnashrama dharmam, everything Krishna has covered in that. The four varnam, four ashramam, everything. So after the 10th chapter, Krishna carried on, and then when he came to the 12th chapter, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, all this is possible only through salsangam. Only through salsangam. It is salsangam that in the association of devotees you realize these important factors. And bhakti that is developed through salsangam is the easiest process, Krishna mentions to Uddhava. After saying that, glories of salsangam, some questions which were raised by Uddhava, instead of answering the questions directly to Uddhava, Krishna immediately reminded Uddhava another important thing there. What was that? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you understand who is asking the question, then these doubts will disappear. If you try to answer the questions what Uddhava has raised, then from that answer more doubts will develop. Instead, because doubting is not a nature of the soul. Doubting is a function of the mind. This is the important thing. Soul has no doubt. The mind is creating the doubt. So therefore Krishna says, instead of trying to understand and answer the questions that has been raised by the mind, try to find out from who is asking the question. And that is where Krishna started stressing the importance of the soul and self-realization. Once we understand the soul, then what is the relationship between the soul and the mind, then automatically, whether it is in the Jnana Margam or in the Bhakti Margam, Jnanis completely reject the mind. Jnanis don't want to know anything about the mind. Devotee, what he does, he surrenders the mind to Krishna. Either way, mind is not a useful tool in spiritual life. Mind is not a useful tool in spiritual life. So therefore, if you understand that relationship between mind and the soul, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, automatically these questions won't come back again. This is how Krishna answered that questions when Uddhava asked that question to Krishna. So all those things were discussed in the 12th chapter, and later on Krishna gives a very thorough and of Vedantam in the 13th chapter. The importance of the soul and how one has to drishtim tadi pratanivartya nivritta drishna tushnim. Krishna says, if you want to move away, get the mind and the senses out of this world. They will drive you to the world more and more. And the more we get absorbed in this world, our understanding of the soul will weaken. We will not understand, because Krishna is present in every living entity, as present as the soul inside, and our vision should go inwards towards Krishna. So those things Krishna has spoken in the 13th chapter in the form of Hamsa Gita. That means the four Kumaras who have come from the tradition of from Brahma to four Kumaras. Brahma instructed the four Kumaras, and Kumaras had these doubts in their mind, how to separate the mind and the sense objects. This was the question. How to separate the mind and the sense object. Sense objects will go in one direction. Mind gets pulled into the sense objects. If the mind from inside, when the mind is inside, even if you close all the senses are considered to be like the windows. The mind is here, the senses are there, and the sense objects are there. The mind wants to interact with the sense objects through the senses. If you close the senses, then sense objects are saying that I will come to you if you can't come to me. The sense object tells the mind that you can't come to me, then we will come to you. So either way, it is not easy to break up that relationship with the mind and the sense objects. So therefore, Krishna spoke there to the four Kumaras how that can be done. That is what was discussed in the 13th chapter, which we have spoken for quite a long time. So that is a process of jnanam. Krishna spoke in detail about jnanamargam in the 13th chapter. And then when we move into the 14th chapter, what Krishna says there is that jnanamargam is not easy for everyone. Jnanamargam is not easy for everyone. So Krishna recommended the process of bhakti. And later on, in the later chapter, you will see Krishna also talked about three different processes, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, for three kinds of people. Who is suited for jnanam, who is suited for bhakti, and who is suited for karma yogam. This was spoken. And in the 14th chapter, Krishna wanted to explain to Arjuna, although jnanamargam, yogamargam, karma margam, they all exist, Arjuna, the easiest way to put the net on Krishna is through bhakti. And that is why Krishna wanted to talk about bhakti yogam in depth. So that is what we were discussing so far. And we saw in bhakti process what he Krishna mentions about the devotee's nature. Akinjanasya dandasyam shandasya samachedasaha maya sandushta manasa sarve sukhamaya dishaha. Krishna said there in the 13th verse that a devotee by nature, akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samachedasaha maya sandushta manasaha sarve sukhamaya dishaha. Krishna says that a devotee who has no desire, who does not ask anything, and who is completely controlled in his mind and senses, and he is always equal vision towards all living entities, seeing Krishna's presence everywhere, samachedasaha, such a person, maya sandushta manasaha, he is always happy because sarve sukhamaya dishaha, that wherever he look around in this world, all he finds is happiness. Why happiness? Because once you have reached that state, Krishna says of bhakti, what you see in this world is only Krishna's presence, nothing else in this creation. So that is why Krishna says there, maya sandushta manasaha sarve sukhamaya dishaham. After saying that, Krishna said, na paramishtam, na mahendradishnim, na sarohovam, na resadivatyam, na yoga siddhi, apunarbhavam, va mayarpidalme, chadimadvinanyad. Whoever, whatever a devotee's position is so glorious, Krishna says, whatever is offered to him, he has no value for it. Anything in this world, na parameshtyam, even if you are offered the emperor's position or Indra's position, Brahma's position, a devotee is not attracted. Even to Brahma's position, imagine that. Brahma's position is offered, devotee says no. Here in this world, even if we get a temple commander's position, we are happy, devotee is happy. But here, Krishna is saying that even Brahma's position is offered, devotee won't accept. Na Mahendra Dishnim, na Sarvabhaumam, na Rasadhivatyam. That Sarvabhaum, Rasadalam, Rasadalam is the planet, on the, one of the lower planetary systems where also the standard of living is very high. Even that, a devotee is not interested. So you can imagine what is the state of consciousness of a proper devotee. Na parameshtyam, na mahendradeshnim, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadivatyam. Then what else? Na yoga siddhi. Even if you offer him all the ashta aishwarya siddhis, there is 18 aishwarya siddhis mentioned in the Bhagavadam. The first 8, Krishna says, they are given only by me. Krishna directly offers that, the first 8. The other 10 are secondary ones which can be attained through yoga process. But the first 8 one, Krishna offers directly. They are very powerful one. We will discuss that later when we come to those yoga siddhis. So, na parameshtyam, na mahendradishtim, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadivatyam, na yoga siddhi. Yoga siddhi also is does not, devotee does not want. Abhunarbhavam va. If you say to him that you are going to take birth again, he says, I am not bothered. Abhunarbhavam va mayarpidalme chadimadvinanyal. That means even in that stage a devotee is not attracted by any offer. Madhvinanya, except all the devotee wants is Krishna. Devotee wants only Krishna, nothing else. So high is the attachment, bhakti inside. For a devotee like that, he would not care to accept anything else in this world. This is the important point. And saying that, after saying that, you could see immediately from Krishna's heart, seeing Uddhava and Uddhava's seriousness, that attachment to Krishna, suddenly that dam got broken and the love started flowing from Krishna to Uddhava straight away. That's why he said there, Nathadame Priyadama Alpayonirna Shangara Naja Sangarshanam Nashri Naiva Alpa Jayada Bhavan. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, neither Brahma is not so dear to me. Brahma is not so dear to me. Alpayonirna Shangara. Shiva, who is me in another form. That is how Shrira Swami says about that. About Shiva, Shrira Swami says there in the Bhagavadam commentary that he is another Krishna in another form. That's all. About Shiva, that is what is mentioned by Shrira Swami himself. Shrira Swami says, Krishna, Shiva is another form of Krishna. So, Nathadami Priyadama Atmayonirna Shankara. He is not dear to me. Then, Naja Sangarshanam Na Shri Naivalma Jayada Bhavan. What else? Balaram, who is me? No different from me. He is my brother. In Krishna and Balaram has come, but in the spiritual world, Sangarshanamurti. Sangarshanamurti and Lord Shiva are non different, which you will see in the fifth canto mention. Balaram and Lord Shiva are non different. They are one and the same. So, whatever you may call, whichever parampara, whichever tradition you may call, these fundamentals cannot change. They remain the same. People say that there are so many gods in the Vedic system. But there is not so many gods. It's one God which is in different forms appearing at different times. But the spiritual in the information or the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about these different appearances in different forms at different times. So, Naja Sangarshanam Nashri Naivalpa Jayada Bhavan. Sangarshamurti or Lord Balaram is not dear to me. Not even Lakshmi Devi, who is so close to me, even she is not dear to me. Unlike, and Uddhava, even not me is not so dear to me. I myself is not dear to me as much as you are. So you can imagine at that point what Krishna's feelings were for this devotee, Uddhava. So that's what it is pointing out there. In spiritual life, it is like that. that when this disciple-spiritual master relationship is perfect, at that point in time, sometime during that relationship, when the disciple has properly surrendered his ego, that is what you surrender. You surrender your ego to the spiritual master, and the ego is surrendered, and the spiritual master, a self-realized soul who is instructing this disciple, naturally in that relationship, there will be what is called in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the fire of knowledge will be transmitted through that, and that's when the self-realization happens. So here you'll notice that Krishna and Uddhava, that has happened. And Uddhava's hearing from Krishna was so moved by Krishna's affection and love for Uddhava that immediately Krishna says, Nishkim nirabeksham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangrire nubhim. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, I love those devotees who, like the ones what he mentions in this verse, nirabeksham, they never ask me anything. Even if I offer them something, they say, no, we don't want it. When I see that, Krishna says, I have to surrender to them. Because this is what I like among the devotees. And there is another class, Krishna says, who constantly ask for me, and I run away from them when they come to me. So, niravaksham munim shandam. They are always peaceful, these devotees who have no desire inside. Because they have no desire inside, there is always peace inside. Munim shandam narvairam. And they have not created any enmity in this world. Any enmity in this world. Why? Because they realize it, that in this world of Maya, so many things can happen. Anything can happen in this world. Today somebody is a friend, tomorrow he could be your enemy. And or if somebody was an enemy, yesterday's enemy, today he could be your friend. What does it mean all? So Maya's world is like that. There is nothing you can do about it. Maya will play a lot of things with us. And when we see that, you can't give such serious attention to all that. That's what Krishna is saying there. Nirabhayakshamunim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam. Apart from nirvairam, no vairatvam, no enmity towards anybody. Samadarshinam, always on an equal vision on to everybody. Anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangrire nubhi. Anubhagami aham nityam. I follow them. When I see those devotees, I follow them, Krishna says. Krishna says, I just follow them to take the dust from their feet and I put it on my head to purify myself. Now, that statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a question to many people. I mentioned that before. Why did Krishna say like that? That I will take the dust from the feet of the devotees and sprinkle it on my head. Krishna said like that, isn't it? So why did that question come? We spoke about that also. Actually, through these verses, Krishna is teaching us, through Uddhava, Krishna is talking to us and saying to us, Uddhava, bhakti is not an easy thing. If we have misunderstood about bhakti, when it comes to bhakti, we have to understand that from Krishna's face, Krishna's mouth, and from devotees like Uddhava. That's why Krishna is reminding us at this point, that a devotee, so long as he has ego inside, any kind of ego, doesn't matter what it is, if he has not completely given up that ego, Krishna does not easily accept that devotee. That is the qualification of a devotee. Freedom from false ego. Freedom from false ego. In order to stress that point, the two instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam before, one from Jadabharata talking to King Rahugana. King Rahugana, unlike we think about him, he was a king, very wealthy person. He had all the opulences of this world. Apart from that, he was very spiritually inclined. He had a lot of realizations, a lot of knowledge. Shastram, he has studied very well. He had all the qualifications. In spite of that, his problem was he was not experiencing any realization from this. That is the situation with many people in this world, isn't it? A lot of people study a lot and still they say that I'm still where I am. Nothing has happened to me. So to prove that point, Rahugana says to Rahugana was Rahugana came to Jatabharata, and Jatabharata spoke to him at that point. It is then that he said, Rahugana tattabasa anayadi na chejaya narvapanat grahadvam. That's when the important verse there, Rahugana being told by Jatabharata, what is the problem? Problem is this. Rahugana tattabasa anayadi na chejaya narvapanat grahadvam. Then, Vina mahalpadarajo bishegam na chandasa neva jala agni suryo vina mahalpadarajo bishegam. Rahugana, it is like this. You are learned, you know everything, but the reason for not realizing the truth, because everybody wants to get to know the truth. These are personalities who are intensely searching for the truth in this world. So, Jatabharata says to him, Vina mahalpadarajo bishegam, that unless you take the dust from the feet of a devotee and sprinkle it on his head, it is not going to happen. So in other words, these are indications to a devotee that unless that false ego goes away from inside, it is impossible to get closer to Krishna. Krishna is not going to recognize a devotee with a lot of ego inside. So anyway, after saying that, we also saw in the Srimad Bhagavatam so many other examples. That Vinamahalpada Rajobhishekam, that Prahlada talks about that in detail in the Bhagavadam, Nishkinjanam, Nishkinjanatvam, and that surrender. There also, Mahiyasam Pada Rajobhishekam, he says, Mahiyasam Pada Rajobhishekam, Mahalmas Pada Rajas, you should take it and have Abhishekam. In that way, you can approach them. So Prahlada spoke about that, Jatabharata spoke about that. Now, Krishna said all these things to us. And Krishna said, I take the dust and put it on my head to purify myself. Now that is what is making everybody wonder why Krishna said that. Reason for that is Krishna is instructing Uddhava. He is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, that is the nature, that should be the approach of a devotee in this world. In other words, what Krishna is saying there is that Uddhava, whatever you may do in spiritual life, actually, Krishna is instructing us, because Ekadasi Skandam was left behind in this world for the benefit of the world later on. Uddhava has already gone back to the spiritual world. Uddhava did not need anymore. But through Uddhava, Krishna wanted to say to this world that while approaching a pure devotee, first thing is, if he is not free from ego, that relationship, even if you meet a pure devotee, nothing will happen. You see, so long as this ego is inside and we go and meet a great Mahatma, what will happen is, except that we will commit a lot of offenses there and we will come back. So subtle is that relationship between the devotee and the Mahatma or the great soul whom he is going to see. So this is not an academic thing. Spiritual realization and spiritual relationships is not academic. It's all completely based on the subtle body's functions. How, when one is freedom from false ego, one surrender is complete, a Mahatma's relationship with the disciple will be different. So, we have seen there that the devotees of that nature who have completely surrendered their ego to the spiritual master, and a spiritual master who has Yanina Sattva Darshina, one who has realized the truth, that relationship will be perfect. Krishna vouches for that in the Bhagavadam. Krishna says it cannot go wrong if it is like that. If it is not like that, it is difficult, Krishna says. It's difficult anything to happen. That also Krishna says there. That if the, and Krishna has not changed words, either in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavadam, he is very precise about that, isn't it? What does he say in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, Upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Unless he is tattva darshi, he cannot offer that, the purity or the knowledge or the realization what he has to somebody else. So he has to be a tattva darshi. And from the disciple's point of view, Krishna is saying that he has to have those qualifications. What? Amani amalsaro daksho nurmamo drada sauhradaha anaswar arthajityasu anasuya amokhavag. If these qualifications are not there, the devotee disciple also will find it difficult. Asatvaro artha jityasu anasoyo amokhavak. Krishna says so many things about a disciple. So Krishna spoke all these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the same thing is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also in a similar terms, not much different. So after saying all that, Krishna says to Uddhava, it is necessary to get rid of this ego first from inside. So first thing what Krishna said at that time was, if in order to do that, Uddhava, there is only one choice you have, and that is this: whomever you see in this world, doesn't matter who it is, not only human species, even if it is a cat, dog, or a donkey, or a learned brahmana, whoever it is, doesn't matter, or a dog eater, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you pay your obeisances to him. Can you imagine? Uddhava is 124 years old, more or less same age as Krishna. And this whole incident happens just before Krishna's departure from this world. That means practically they are same age. Therefore, you can take it that Uddhava was 124 years old. And to that Uddhava, Krishna is saying to him, even if he is perfectly healthy, to pay obeisances to everyone every minute is difficult. Isn't it? Practically, it is not possible. It is impossible to do that. Praname dandavan bhumam ashwachandalako gharam Busurajasmayamanamcha Risham Vridamcha Dehigim Praname Dandavad Bhumam Ashwachandala Kokaram. Krishna's point is this: so long as we are in the bodily concept of life, so long as we are, which means we are all, so long as there is this bodily concept of life, Krishna says it's not very easy to come out of it. We can theoretically learn the verses that I'm not this body and tell everyone I'm not this body. But when it comes to practice, you know, you see in this very world how people are on the platform of the body, bodily platform. How difficult it is to come out of it. And we can very easily identify with this body and fight like cats and dogs. That's not a problem at all. It is such an easy thing to do. So knowing very well, Krishna says, before we talk about all other things, Brahma, Maya, other things, first of all, get this out from inside, that I am this body. And you know, to do that, Krishna says, the easiest thing, what I would recommend to you, he says to Uddhava, is as soon as you see someone, pay your obeisances straight away. Praname dandavad bhuma shwanda chandala ghogaram. Whether it's a dog, whether it's a chandala, whether it's a cow, whether it's an ass, donkey, doesn't matter. You pay your obeisances to that. And Uddhava started looking at Krishna at this time. Are you telling me something which I have to do at this age in life? Practically, Krishna knows very well the time is very limited for Uddhava in this world. Uddhava has to go to leave very soon. It was in that time Krishna mentions that to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is not possible. It is a fact that it is not possible to pay obeisances like that to everyone. But at least when you have some difficulty with anybody in this world for any reason, when you see that person, that inside it is developing in the form of a hate or ill will inside, immediately remember that Krishna is present in that living entity. Think like that inside and pay your obeisances inside at least. Even if you can't physically do it, at least do it in that way. By doing that way, Krishna says, Ragadvesham, attachment and aversion will not develop within. That is the easiest way Krishna recommends to Uddhava at that point. Visarajasmayamana answan drisham vridamcha dehigim. When you are in the bodily concept of life, there is no other hope, Krishna is saying. So you can imagine how difficult even to develop bhakti inside. Visarajasmayamana answan drisham vridamcha dehigim. That normally in this world, everybody will remind you about the body, isn't it? Say two people meet each other. One will ask, how are you? You will say, I'm fine. Or I'm not fine. Or I'm got sick. I got diabetes. Oh, did you go to the doctor? He will say. He says, I went to the doctor. He says, it is stage 2. There's nothing much we can do about it. And he will say, some medicine will recommend. Okay, are you feeling better now? Yes, I'm feeling a little better, but it's always there behind my mind. It's always there, he say. Or somebody else will say, oh, I got cancer. So, there's no medicine and then all these discussions, or have you been to the doctor, what did the doctor say, you feel sorry for him. Or it will be about the stroke, or it will be something related to some other illness. Whatever it may be, doesn't matter. Because in each illness, if it is cancer, there is hundreds of cancers, isn't it? One for the throat, one for the lung, one for the breast, one for this, one for that. So which one it is and what stage it is, you can inquire all these things. So in all conversations in this world, people will only remind you about the body. Has anyone asked you, how are you spiritually going? No, if anybody has asked in this world, it's probably Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Shankaracharya has asked that question. Nobody else has asked that question so far. Everyone else will ask you, how are you, and you will mention about your body. So out of the billions and billions of how are you, there will be only one person who will talk about the soul. So rare that is. So everyone reminds you of the body all the time. Nobody reminds you of the soul. That is what Krishna is saying there. And because it is like that in this world, whenever you meet anyone, automatically, as much as in the bodily plan, that's why Krishna is saying there, Visrajyas Mayamanansvan, he is only reminding you about the body. And you are on the conditioning of this body. Drishan Vridamcha Dehigim. That Dehigim means that you are in the bodily concept of life. There is nothing yet done about that. Then he says, Pranamedhanavadbhumashwan Chandala Ghogaram. If you want to escape from this, even while seeing a dog, cat, dog eater, anybody, you just keep paying obeisances to him. If not completely on the ground, at least inside. Always try to see, Krishna is there, Krishna is there, Krishna is there, in all these living entities. If you do that, Krishna says, quietly, this bodily identification will go from inside. Many people have done that in the past. Don't think it was something Krishna has spoken 5,000 years ago and gone with it. No. Later on, many people who have studied Bhagavatam very well, who took Srimad Bhagavatam and went to Krishna, and who pleased Krishna with Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has given them this way of thinking and developed that very well inside, and they found it that it is absolutely correct what Krishna has spoken. They themselves have recorded that in their spiritual journey. They have spoken about that. They didn't talk about anything else. They were not interested in anything in this world. What they have experienced in spiritual life by Krishna's mercy and from Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what they have recorded. So some people, they have, how did they find it? They went and to the temple and to the deity. They have paid obeisances to the deities. When you pay obeisances to the deity, normally, when you pay obeisances to the deity, when you get up and look at Krishna's lotus feet and to the form there, you feel a certain happiness inside. I don't know whether how to put it, but if you feel that happiness, that seeing that Krishna is standing there, whose holy name you are chanting, whom you are glorifying, whose prasadam you are taking, and whom you have taken as the essence of all life, the very existence in this life, that personality is standing there right in front of you in that form of deity. Say Gokulananda's friend of you, you are seeing Gokulananda like that. After seeing Gokulananda, what happiness you have experienced. If that happiness, if you get when you pay your obeisances to a dog or a cat, then you can say that you have reached that same realization, which is difficult, isn't it? When you see a dog, what do you think first thing? It's just a dog, isn't it? It is easy to put it down as a dog. But inside that dog also, Krishna is present there. How can you ignore that? So self-realization is like that. It is not the body that matters. It's not that dog is Krishna. That's not what it means. What it means is that inside that living spark, inside Krishna who is present there, when you see that, also that living being, it is in another dress there, standing there, in another dress standing there. When the devotee sees that, and these great devotees who studied Ekadasha Skandam and realized this truth, they paid obeisances to the deity, and then they paid obeisances to the dog, and they felt the same realization from both. And then they understood that Ekadasham is perfect. Ekadasha Skandam conclusions are perfect. Krishna's words are not just spoken for to keep us busy in this world. That is not the idea behind it. But when you come to that stage, you can appreciate that Srimad Bhagavatam's purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to take us to the spiritual platform, to come out of this body, to come out of this body with which we are identifying very strongly. So after saying that, Krishna said there, that the Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, such a person, Nishkinjanam, my anirakta chedasaha, shanda mahando, akila jiva valsalaham, kamai analabdhadiyo jushandiya, tannai nairavesham navidu sukham mama. Krishna says there that the Uddhava, it is like this, such a devotee, Nishkinjanatvam, he has no need, desires for anything, always attached to me, my anirakta chedasaha. What else? Shandaha. Always he is peaceful. There is nothing that disturbs his mind. Shandaha. Mahando. Akhila jiva valsalaha. That they are such great personalities. Akhila jiva valsalaha. That they are attracted to all the Akhila jiva valsalaha. They have such mercy for everybody else in this world. Because they see all the living entities only suffering in this world. That's why they do not consider anymore that someone is enjoying. Just like we're discussing that as far as miseries of this world are concerned, you cannot exclude anyone, can you? You can't exclude anyone in this world from miseries. Material misery is concerned, it is there for everyone in this world. Everyone, nobody is exempted from that. Whether it's an ordinary man on the street or if it is the wealthiest person, Bill Gates in this world, both of them have to die. And death is concerned, that distress associated with death, both of them have to experience, whether it is Bill Gates or whether it is ordinary man on the street. Both of them have to die and both of them have to go through that miseries of death. Both of them will get old. One cannot say that I'm not going to get old, I'll always remain young. Both of them have to experience old age. Both of them will get sick as well. Only thing is, one person may get the best treatment in this world, another person may not get it. And often you'll notice also many, many people who do not have much of a wealth to maintain the body, still their body acquire a greater strength or greater immunity while living in this world. So many things you can notice. So it's not completely dependent on how wealthy you are. Illness and disease can come to anybody. So as far as old age, disease and death is concerned, even for the richest man and the poorest man in this world, it's the same. They both have to face it. There's no choice as far as this is concerned. So therefore, the realized souls, they see this as important. Akhila jiva valsalaha. Therefore, when they look at people, they think that everybody is suffering in this world. Practically in their eyes, there is no one who is actually freedom from all these things. Kamai analabdhadiyo jushandiyatam nairavesham navidusukham mama. Because they are free from desires, they are not looking for anything else in this world. They are totally satisfied. And they are on their way back home, back to the spiritual world. They still live in this world so that by their presence, if somebody gets some desire to cultivate spiritual life, the examples are there. Because if these personalities don't live in this world, what will happen? It will all stay in the books only. Being in the books alone is not sufficient. What is in the books? We need people who live the spiritual life in this world. And that is why Krishna is saying like that. So after that, when Krishna spoke about these great mahatmas or souls, Krishna says, we are now talking about devotees. What kind of devotee? There are other devotees in this world, Krishna says, those who have reached a very high state of bhakti, but at the same time, they have a little attachment to something in this world. Such things can happen in this world. So that is where Krishna started talking about devotees who have already, they have reached a very high state of bhakti. Bhakti level, they are very high. But on the other hand, in spite of all that, there is some attachment somewhere in this world. In some form, some kind of sense enjoyment in different ways. And that is when Krishna says, Vadhyamana bhimal bhakta vishayai ajirendriyaihi. Krishna says like that. Praya pragalbhaya bhaktiya vishayair nabhi bhuyate. Krishna is saying, Uddhava, it is like this. Vadhyamanobi malbhakto vishayovi. That even if he has got some attachment for sense enjoyment, even if he has got that, and he is bound by that, Vadhyamanobi. My devotee, Krishna says, Praya Pragalbhaya Bhaktiya, because of the bhakti inside gets will strong, and eventually his sense gratification will go. It will leave him. This is a very important statement from Krishna. Krishna is saying that even if sometimes in life it can happen, nobody can say that you will be a perfect devotee from day one. That's not going to happen. We will all have some kind of weaknesses in all of us, in some way or the other. It will always be there. It may not be very gross, it could be very subtle as well. So, generally, it can happen, some sense gratification, some desire is still inside. It has not gone away. It is still following us, some vasana inside. It is still following us. It may have come from previous lifetimes, or it may have developed in this lifetime. Krishna's point is, Vadhyamano bimal bhaktam vishayai ajitendriyaihi praya pragalbhaya bhaktya vishayair na abhibhuyate. Krishna is saying that if that person who has got a certain tendency or enjoying propensities, do not worry about that. He says, praya pragalbhaya bhaktya. His bhakti will get strong one day, vishayair na abhibhuyate. The vishayam or sense enjoyment has to surrender at that point. His sense enjoyment has to surrender at that point. Krishna is saying like that. And that is where we were discussing, and we also spoke about a great devotee, Sundaramurti's story we talked about last Sunday. And Sundaramurti was a devotee and who had attachment to women. Somehow it followed him, came through in this life. And it all started when he was about 16, 17 years old. And due to circumstances, many things happened in life, attachment to two women he was attached to, and he wanted to marry both of them. And in that process, at the same time, great devotee. Imagine that, he's a great devotee. Shiva is listening to him. He was following Shiva's devotee he was, and Shiva is helping him in all stages. And for the sake of this devotee, he has to go and negotiate with these two women with whom he wanted to marry as well. Even such an extent, Shiva had to work for this devotee. Such was the state of devotion inside. So, when we are discussing there, Sundaramurti's case, we have seen that so long as Jiva, living entity, has some connection through karma with this world, karma bandhanam it is called. As long as we have some connection with this world through our karma, and which means there is some desire inside, even if Krishna or any great personality comes in front of us, we will not feel any attraction for him. This is how that, the subtle side of it. That Jiva has got an attraction to this world through karma. Through karma we got connected with this world, isn't it? Karma is the principle behind it. It is karma that has created karma vasana here. So through karma we have made some connection with this world. Otherwise imagine, what connection have we got with this world? Why do we think that all these things are connected with me? Why? How did this connection come? I feel it's my house, I feel somebody is my wife, I feel someone is my children, or this way, so much connect, this is my car, this is my book, this is. Where did this connection come from? Attachment to everything. Some relationship has been created, isn't it? Not that I paid money and bought the book, it's mine. That's not the point. Point is this, that all the connections with this world, and for us, which is completely independent, the spirit soul, who has nothing to do, what to talk about this world, even with this body, where we have no connection with this. Somehow or the other, the body has come upon us. We didn't ask for this type of body. Even if I wanted some other body, I wouldn't have got it. There must be some reason, a particular body in a particular place and a particular parents were given to you. Where did this come from? This question we have to ask. So you can see that karma is that link, what has connected us with this world. And through that link of karma, all vasanas was created. With the result of that, the subtle body was created, the gross body was created, and all bodily extensions came about, and then along with that all the other material life what we pursue today in this world as well. So Krishna's point is this, that so long as this karma bandham, this connection with the world through karma exists, and which means that we have desires to fulfill, in at that time, even if by chance we get a revelation or we get an opportunity to come to contact with the Mahatma or a great soul, we will be frightened. We'll be frightened to go closer. We'll be frightened to go closer. So this was the problem that Sundaramurti had also had to go through, these situations. That is what we talked about. So Sundaramurti's story, what we discussed, we say is that it was from the Purva Janma Smriti. That is, from the previous life it has followed him. And while living in the temple, completely absorbed in the service of the deity there, he gets attracted in the middle of all that. In the middle of all his service to the deity, all this is happening. So this devotee and the deity had, and Shiva had a close relationship. And his point was, he was very logical while discussing with Shiva about his position. He openly argued with him. His argument was like this, that he left Shiva's abode and came here, and he got involved with these two marriages, as I mentioned before. He says to Lord Shiva like this. He says to him that somebody is cooking in the kitchen. In one pot is completely filled with water, and in another pot is completely filled with milk for preparing some dishes, whatever it may be. So, you know, in the hot weather condition, some flies or something will come and fall into the water or fall into the milk also. If it falls into the water, the chef, who is the head cook or whatever you call it in the kitchen, he says, throw the whole water away. Throw the whole water away and fill it with new water. If it falls in the milk, because it's a huge pot of milk, if any insect or anything falls into it, the chef won't say, throw the whole milk away. What will he say? He'll say, take some dharma, lift that, pick up that insect from that and throw it away and use it again, the milk. Isn't it? Sundaramurti says to Shiva, from this, what do you understand? If somebody is a very strong materialist is this pot of water, you can reject him. He's saying to Shiva, if he is a strong materialist who is like this pot of water, you reject him. But I have come to you, I have given up everything, I have nobody else in this world, I am on my alone, and I have completely taken your shelter. If I have some discrepancies in me, if I have some shortcomings in me, you should remove the shortcomings and purify me like you do with the milk. Just see that logic. Shiva couldn't answer that. That is the situation with a devotee. Devotee is surrendered to Krishna. And if there is something missing, lacking in us, it is Krishna's problem, it's not my problem. That should be our approach. Not that I will chant 64 rounds for 20, 30 years and then one day when I get purified, only then I will see Krishna. No. Surrender is the important thing in bhakti, not how many rounds you have chanted. Bhakti is completely dependent on surrender. If there is no surrender, you can chant millions of years, you will remain the same. That is the point to make here. These devotees are teaching us that if there is no surrender, whatever you may do in this life, you will follow all the regulative principles, all the nowadays all sorts of things devotees do. How to beget a good Krishna conscious child, how to bring him to this world. Courses are run on that. People are going and taking. They think it's a mechanical process, isn't it? This is what they have understood. That the whole spiritual life has become a mechanical process. So therefore they have created all these courses. How to get a Krishna conscious child into this world. Is that what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about? So the point is this, that Krishna is saying there that praya pragalbhaya bhaktiya, If the bhakti is there, I have no choice except to listen to him, what the devotee is saying. But surrender is not there, so Krishna says, I don't want to know anything. You can do what you like with your bhakti. That's the point. So here, the question is that Sudramurti asked Shiva, what is truth means? What does truth means? He says to him, that he asked Shiva, can you define me what truth means? He's saying to Shiva, he says here, the only truth is soul. The soul is the only truth. And bhakti, devotion, is the only truth. There is nothing else than truth. And therefore, and I have done mistakes in my life. Sundaramurti is saying to Shiva, I gave word to this first woman, Parvainachya, that I'll marry her. And then later on, I told the other woman also, I'll marry her. But I've broken that promise. But this is my problem. This is my defects in me. Take that out from me, this attachment in me, and take me to the right situation. This is how a devotee can speak to, whether to the deity, what he is worshipping. So that's why I have, those things have happened due to prarabdham. Due to prarabdham. So I lived in this world because of my prarabdha vasana, all these things have happened in life. Attachment. Whereas at some point in my life, I have broken away from all these connections from this world and I have taken your complete shelter. And after taking shelter, if this is how you are going to treat me, then what is the meaning of truth? He asked. And he couldn't answer. Shiva couldn't answer. Shiva has to agree with that. And he gave this example of water and the milk in the pot and says to him that if milk gets contaminated, you throw the insect that has fallen into that and use the milk. Similarly, I have taken your shelter and come to you. And if I have something some shortcomings in me, if I am lacking something, it is up to you to take it out and purify me, not me. I can't do anything about it. This is how great devotees speak to Krishna. And Krishna has also accepted this. In several instances you will see this. Many, many great devotees, not that they were all completely 100% perfect from day one. And they all had their own different problems in spiritual life. Not that they were perfect from day one. So during the process, as bhakti develops inside, this is what Krishna is talking about in that verse. Praya pragalpaya bhakti. If bhakti develops inside, vishayair nabhibhuyade, sense gratification will fail at the end. It is a fight between bhakti and sense gratification. Eventually, sense gratification will leave. Bhakti will win. This is what the point Krishna is making there. So, saying this, so, so this thought what Krishna has spoken, mentioned here, Sundaramurti's story, what we discussed last Sunday. On the one side, if you look into anyone's life, anybody's life, even among devotees, in one side, his prarabdham is doing so many things. So many things in his life. We have seen many, many devotees in this world, isn't it? In our own life, we have seen many type of devotees. Some of them very, very serious at one time, very attracted to Krishna consciousness. But some other time, they have completely lost everything and gone away from this world and moved away from Krishna consciousness. But what we have to remember here is, Krishna's point is that prarabdham will play its role. Because there is a lot of prarabdha vasana. Prarabdha karmam inside has created prarabdha vasana. That vasana will, prarabdham will play its game in this world. Will play its game in this world. And on the other hand, while prarabdham is having this role, your bhakti is not disturbed. In such a way, if you live in this world, Krishna says eventually bhakti will win, prarabdham will lose. Prarabdham will lose. But we have to be fixed on that. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. That's the point Krishna is making there. Praya pragalbhaya bhaktya vishayar nabhibhuyade. Why Krishna had to say this? Because Krishna knows very well that all devotees in their spiritual life will experience problems. It's not going to be a smooth sail. So because of that, he is telling us that you should not give up from that. Rather, on the other hand, continue with the spiritual pursuit. So, what will happen, Krishna says, If bhakti in a person gets strong, or the rasam, or the taste for bhakti, when it becomes powerful, he'll forget this world. He will forget this world. And he'll forget all other interest in this world. That is how it happens. Attraction to the world completely goes away from a first-class devotee. He has no attraction for this world anymore. Shreyo margeshu bhakta adhika bhumati janma karmani bhuyoho gayan khemani namani tadupajayidam pradrudam pradrudalma udyaddasakkadajil kuhajidabirudan kwabigarjan pragayan unmadiva pranirtyan ayukuru karunam logabahyas chareyam. When we discuss about bhakti, Kavi Maharshi, Hari Maharshi, when we discussed in the Nimina Vayogi Samvadam between them, Shreyo Margeshu, for our benefit, ultimate benefit, there are many processes in this world. Shreyo Margeshu, but Bhakta Vadika Bahumadi, Bhakti is given a higher position in all that. Adhika Bahumadi, Janma Garmani Bhuyogayan Kshemani Namani. Bhakti is such that janma karmani bhuyogayan kshemani namani, that everything in relationship with Krishna, appearance, Krishna's appearance in this world, Krishna's activities in this world, pastimes, all these things, when one gets absorbed in that, pradrudam pradrudalpam, that very quickly he gets released from this world. When that happens to him, that he has woken up to the reality that he is devotee of Krishna, or his relationship with Krishna has become very strong inside the heart. He started seeing nothing in this world is satisfying him. And when that develops intensely inside, kwapi garjan pragayan, sometimes garjanam, he loudly shouts, and sometimes he cries, unmadiva pranatyan, sometimes like a mad person, he starts dancing in this world. Unmadiva pranatyan ai guru karunam logabahyaschareyam, that devotee is saying to Krishna, give me that bhakti, where he could chant the holy names of Krishna, hear about the pastimes of Krishna, and remember about Krishna, and in that ecstasy, sing, dance, and go out of this world. Logabahyas chareyam. He is not in this world anymore. He has gone away from here. He does not live in this world. Although physically the body is present here, spiritually he has gone. The soul has left this world. He's not in this world anymore. Unmadiva pranatyan ai guru varunam logabahyaschareyam. If you look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the pastimes you will see that Mahaprabhu was dancing and singing. Many people could not understand what was going on, isn't it? That is what this is. This Niminavayogi Samvadam, when you read, you will see these things happening in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Also as a devotee, how he did not belong to this world. Unmadiva pranatyan, people thought he has gone mad. Has gone? Mahaprabhu has gone mad, they thought. Otherwise, what's all these things going on? They're always dancing and always, because there, unmadiva pranatyan ai guru karunam logabahyaschareyam. Logabahyam. Logabahyam means they are not inside this world, they are outside this world. Unfortunately, they have come to this mad world, so they have to see among all of us. We think he is mad, but he is thinking we are all mad. So this is the situation in this world, isn't it? Unmadiva pranartyan nai guru karunam logavahis chareyam bhudanyedani bhudalmagam abhisagalam pakshi malsyan mrgadin martyan mitrani shatru namiyamidamani tanmayan anamani. Nimi Maharshi is saying there, Nimi is answering that, Bhudanya Dani Bhudalmagam, that all living entities, Pakshi, birds, Malsyan, fish, Mrgadin, all animals, Martyan, human species, Mitrani, Shatru, Nabiyamidamadi, friend, enemy, all of them, When you see all of them, Mitrani Shatru Amiyamadamadi Stanmayan Anamani, pay your obeisances to them. So this is the realization of a devotee. Devotee's realization is like that. This is devotee. Devotee does not live in this world anymore. Ragadvesham has complete attachment, aversion has completely gone away from him. Totally free from this world. Nothing can bind him anymore. Anything. Why? Because he is experiencing Krishna inside. He has realized Krishna and there is no more attachment or aversion to this world. So having said that, he says there, forgets everything in this world. And you will see this in the Bhagavatam at several places. Devotees exhibiting such relation emotions with Krishna. And when you read that, you start realizing that these devotees have such higher level of realizations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we talk about gopis, isn't it? Gopis, we say, oh, what did gopis? Gopis had a relationship with Krishna. And they were attached to Krishna in a particular way. And when you read some of gopis' realizations, immediately you start thinking that how could gopis were ordinary women, isn't it? They were not highly, unlike the Viprabhatnis, the Brahmana women whom we studied in the Bhagavatam, which we have talked about before. They were a different category altogether, completely different. In the Bhagavatam, if you look in the 10th canto, these two episodes are kept next to each other. Have you noticed that? In the pastimes, childhood pastimes, Brahmana Bhatnis, a group of women, and gopis, another group of women. Another group of women, both are women. But among them, one group, which is the Viprabhatni Moksham, if you read that pastime, you will see there, the Brahmana women, they had, right from the beginning, good training. They had seen their husbands completely absorbed in spiritual life, performing sacrifices, and they have studied Shastram very well because they had the opportunity to do that. They studied all that. Not only that, from early days they have heard about Krishna and Balaram had come and they are living in Vrindavanam and they were looking for an opportunity to see them. Opportunity to see Krishna and Balaram. And knowing very well, Krishna decided that I should give them an opportunity. There was no time like the gopis to playing with them or any kind of relationships. Suddenly one day, Krishna takes all the cowherd boys and goes to the forest, fully with the packed lunch. And as soon as they got to the forest, Krishna, immediately they started feeling hungry. And naturally the prasadam they have brought with them, they took it. After taking prasadam, within a very short time, they were hungry again. So Krishna says to them, by now they have come far away from Vrindavanam. They had to go a long way back. So it was not possible to walk back all the way to Vrindavanam to get the prasadam again. So Krishna says to them, now you go, there is some sacrifices going on there in that particular village close by. Their brahmanas are performing sacrifice. Go there and ask them for prasadam. Tell them that Balaram and Krishna had come with all the friends. They are in the forest. Bring some prasadam for them. Boys went there, cowherd boys went there, asked for prasadam. The brahmanas heard that. Shrunando bina shushruvu. They heard, but they acted, oh, I have not heard anything. They sat there without even looking at them. The boys felt so offended. You can imagine, young little boys, 8, 10 years old, probably 12 years, 10 years old maybe. They felt completely ignored and rejected. They came back crying to Krishna and saying to Krishna, we went there, you told us to ask them, we went and asked them, they didn't give us anything, he says. Krishna says, don't worry. They may not give you, but their wives will give you. Go to them, he said. So Krishna sends them there. So tell them very clearly that Krishna and Balaram has come to the forest, they are starving, they want prasadam. So he goes there, the children went back again on Krishna's request, second time. They are hungry also, and you can imagine when somebody is hungry, you tell them to do all these kind of things, back and forth, how you would feel. So these boys were protesting. Krishna knew what was happening and told the boys, go to them and ask their wives to give you prasadam, they'll give you, he said. So the boys went to the Brahmana Bhatnis, Viprabhatnis, and asked them, told them that Krishna and Balaram come, Balram had come, they want prasadam, they are hungry, he said. As soon as they heard this, all that was cooked and ready for the sacrifice, they carried that themselves and brought along with the boys and fed Krishna and Balaram very well and all the cowherd boys. There, if you look into the discussion between Krishna and the Viprabhaknis, you can notice there is not much instruction given, unlike the gopis. Gopis is a completely different story. There, Krishna says to that Brahmana Patni that all of you are on your way back to the spiritual world. There is nothing more to discuss. Why? The knowledge is already there. What was missing there was that opportunity to see Krishna and receive that mercy from Krishna. They were only waiting for that. Whereas the Brahmanas who were there, their husbands, they never had any bhakti in them. Knowledge was there, but there was no bhakti in them. Therefore, nothing happened to them, but because of the association with their wives, that Brahmanas also became devotees, they also went back to spiritual world later. Bhagavatam says like that. Kamsa albhidana chachalan. Kamsa's rule has frightened all these people. Brahmanas were worried that if they associate with Krishna and Balaram, it may come to the notice of Kamsa. And Kamsa may punish them for that, because Kamsa has already become an enemy for Krishna and Balaram. So therefore, those Brahmanas did not care for Krishna and Balaram. Rather, the wives didn't have any problem. They brought prasadam and fed them very well. Fed them very well. So there, you can see, Krishna did not speak a lot to the Viprabhatni, the wives of the Brahmanas. All he said to them was, we are very happy, thank you for the prasadam, go home now, take all the pots and go home and stay home, everything will be okay. And by the time they went back, very soon they left this world and went back to the spiritual world. That was their good fortune. So in their case, already the ground was ready. They already had everything. The knowledge was there, the bhakti was there. Krishna rewarded them immediately, sent them back. In gopis' case, it is a completely different situation. When gopis came to associate with Krishna, gopis didn't know anything about Krishna. They didn't know that he was Supreme Personality of Godhead. They never studied Shastram. Isn't it? Tena adhida shudigana nobasida mahattamaha avrada tapta tapasaha salsangan mam ubhagadaha. About gopis, that's what Krishna said. Tena adhida shudiganaha. They never heard any shastram in their life. Never. They didn't know what shastram means. Nobasida mahattamaha. Neither they had an opportunity to serve any great soul. I'm just saying this in comparison with the Brahmana's wives. How different they were in both of them. Nobasida mahattamaha avrada tapta tapasaha. Neither they executed any severe austerities or penances in their life. You must have something to your credit, isn't it, in spiritual life, to say that I have done all this and nothing has happened. But they haven't done anything. Avrada tapta tapasaha. Krishna says they have not fasted. The only thing in the Bhagavatam recorded history what we have is that 41 days they have performed this Kartyayani Vratam, which you remember when they were little girls, to get a nice husband, they were trying to please Kartyayani. Kartyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adishwari, Nandagopa Sudandevi, Padime Kurudenama. And that all ended up in big problems at the end, as you know in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna went there, stole all their clothes, sat on the top of the tree and told the girls to come and receive the clothes one after the other. In order to make them aware, though Krishna had to deal with them in a different way, unlike the wives of the Brahmanas. So that first incident which happened during that Kartyayani festival was that Krishna realized that first they have to be taught about the bodily identity. So a most impossible thing Krishna has told them to do, to come fully naked in front of him, and he says that first pay your obeisances and then you can have your clothes. So initially they were all looking at each other standing in the water, what should we do now? They said, we'll go and complain to Nanda Maharaj. Krishna says, okay, go and complain then. And we'll see after that. There's so many interesting discussions going on between Krishna and the gopis at that time. All young little girls, 8-10 years old. But Krishna is telling them like this, go and complain to Nanda Maharaj. Then I'll give you the clothes after that. So anyway, ultimately, they all had to come and pay their obeisances. And that is why in the Vedas, this statement, Everything ultimately ends up Keshavam Pratigachadi. If you don't pay your obeisances to Krishna, all your other yajnam, sacrifice, yagam, everything is not complete. Ultimately, you have to pay your obeisances to Krishna, who is the controller of everything. So, knowing very well, the gopis paid their obeisances, and Krishna asked them, what were you doing all these 41 days you are performing for? So, at that time, Sri Parvati says to Krishna, that they were after me, asking me that they want you to come as their husband. Krishna says, all right, from now on, you pass it on to me. Now, I'll take care of it from now on. And Sri Parvati was released from that responsibility at that time. That's what you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna there alone started this relationship with the gopis. Prior to that, even while living at home as a little boy, what all pastimes he has performed, which you can read in the Bhagavatam. The Bali Leela, the childhood pastimes, which are very important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, little by little, gopis got attracted to Krishna. No shastram, no austerities, no penances, no serving any great soul. Ordinary people in this world, like many others, only busy with their life of eating, sleeping, and living the normal life, looking after their family, and looking after their parents, children, husband, wife, all that kind of things. So, living a life like that, unlike the Brahmana women, who had knowledge, who had training, who had a good background, everything, they didn't need any instruction. Whereas these gopis, they needed everything from the beginning. And that's why Krishna says, salsangamam upagada. They develop because of salsangam, Krishna says there. So, Krishna, with gopis, Krishna's relationship had to take a little time to grow. And that in that process, eventually, gopis have reached such a state of devotion, bhakti inside. Krishna says, whatever knowledge they were lacking in them, these things Krishna had to give it to them, but not from the Shastra. They never studied any. Sometimes you even wonder whether they knew how to read and write. All these gopis, whether they had, because there was no schooling system like that today. And there is no mention in the Bhagavatam anywhere that they have went to school or went to any place to read and write. Even that wasn't there. So there was no question of studying Shastram for them. But all the realization of the Shastram, Krishna had to give it to them. It could not happen otherwise. That is why in the Bhagavatam you will see, if you look into the 10th canto, in the 47th chapter, there is what is known as Brahmaragidam. In Brahmaragidam, there are certain verses. And when gopis are saying this to Uddhava, Uddhava was sent there, isn't it? Krishna sent Uddhava with a message to pass on to the gopis. So when Uddhava arrived there in Vrindavanam, and when this discussion happened between Uddhava and the gopis, some of the things what gopis have spoken, you start wondering where they got this from. If they were not educated, where this realization came to them from? That is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. The gopis are saying there, Bahava iha vihangam vishujaryam charandi. They knew so well, if anybody goes after Krishna, Bahava iha vihangam vishujaryam charandi. After going after Krishna, what will happen is one day he will completely become a pauper. This is what will happen to devotee. When you go after Krishna, what will happen is one thing after the other, Krishna will take away everything from the devotee. He will take his wealth, he will take his health, he will take all his friends away, and he will lose everything in this world. He will lose everything in this world. We go to Krishna saying we want all these things as much as possible. And Krishna says, yes, so long as you can have all that, but you won't have me then. You can't get me if you want all that. But when a person genuinely wants those things, Krishna says at that point, gopis are saying this, we have lost everything in this world. We have got nothing now. Bahava iha vihangam vichujaryam charandi. This is the position of a devotee. So, gopi started saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, we followed him all these years. Now look at our situation. We have lost everything in this life. If we go back home, they don't want to know anything about us. They say, you were run after that Krishna, and we cannot take you back. We will reject you. And we have lost everything there. And we have nothing in this world. And you have also now rejected and gone away to Mathura. Isn't it? That's what happened. So what's our situation now? And that's what they are complaining to Uddhava. Says, Bahava iha vihangam vichujaryam charandi. So, and we, what will normally happen? This is Radharani's words. Radharani is saying that if anyone follow you, what will happen at the end is you will make that person completely helpless and bankrupt, and he will have nothing left in this world, and he will live in this world in that way. He will have to live in this world in that state. So Radharani is warning all the devotees to be careful, not to get too attached to Krishna. It's dangerous. Because if you develop that state of bhakti, then the result will be bahava iha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. You'll become a beggar in this world. To live in this world, you'll just become a beggar. Krishna is saying, Radharani is saying there to Krishna. So, if you look at that verse, bahava iha Yadanucharidalila Karna Piyusha Viprud Sagradana Vidu that Dwandva Dharma Vinashtaham Sabadigraha Kudambam Dinam Ulsrajadinam Bahava Ihavihangam Bichujaryam Charandim. First you will hear about Krishna. First you will hear about Krishna. And then you will get little bit attracted to Krishna. When you get attracted to Krishna, automatically you lose all interest in this world. Friends and enemies, you don't care either way. What friendship, what enemy in this world, all doesn't mean anything. That understanding will come. And then, like the birds, bahava iha vihangam, like the birds, you'll be running around in this world. Bichujaryam charandi. You leave your family life, you leave everything, and like a beggar, you will have to live in this world. This is the Brahmagidam where Radharani spoke this to Uddhava. This is our fate. This is our fate. Radharani is talking about herself. This is my fate now. What has happened after running behind that black man, he says there. Radharani uses that word. Radharani uses that word. It's not a racial statement. It's Radharani's word. So you have to blame Radharani, not me, for that. So Radharani says like this, that you go after him, and then this is what will happen. So Krishna has warned Uddhava before that he went there, that you will hear a very different kind of devotees you are going to deal with. It won't be like the Viprabhatnis. These people are little different. And Uddhava started realizing and recognizing this. And that's what he was saying. There is a story about this. I don't know whether you know about the history of Mirabai. Mirabai's history is very interesting. Mirabai did not come from Vrindavanam. She came from a village not far from there. Another village she came from. Don't remember the name of the village. So what happened to Mirabai was, one boy from Vrindavanam, marriage was arranged with Mirabai. Marriage with Mirabai was arranged. And by now, all the gopis were in complete love with Krishna. So this news has spread everywhere that all the women who are getting married in Vrindavan, they are all running after Krishna. This news has spread everywhere. So in that village also, all the elderly women who have heard about this, they told this little girl Meera that you are going to Vrindavan, you be careful. If you get to see this person Krishna there, you may get attracted, and then your family life will finish. Immediately it will be over after that. Because what has happened to the gopis is known everywhere at that time. Obviously, it was known in all the nearby villages. So they warned Meera so much, so strong warnings they gave her, that be careful, always be alert, and be staying in the association of your husband. Never take any chance. Never get invited by this Krishna. Never goes to him. Don't go to him. You'll be in serious trouble. So they warned her so much. When she came to Vrindavanam, she kept her eyes closed all the time. She didn't want to see anyone else, and she always stayed in the association of her husband. All this carried on, and suddenly this pastime happened. Which one? Govardhana pastimes. You remember that? When the whole Indra started flooding Vrindavanam with water, and the rivers, everything was full, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavanam, they had to take shelter there. They had to take shelter there. So in that process, Meera also had to go underneath the Govardhana Hill, because everybody was taking shelter there underneath the water, underneath the hill, under the Govardhana Hill. Everybody was standing there. Meera also happened to be underneath that. So when Meera got underneath that, Krishna looked at her and she closed her eyes. Because she was told very strongly not to look at Krishna, isn't it? That's why. But Krishna won't leave her. Krishna says to her that Krishna started lifting the Govardhana Hill and started playing the flute. When the flute started playing, all the gopis were enjoying it, and in that process she also got pulled into it, attracted by Krishna. And because in that life she could not make it like the gopis have done, she had to come back again and as a devotee. But by now that attraction becomes so strong, she had to take birth as Meera. And that Meera's history is like that. That vasana she created inside by living in Vrindavan in association with Krishna followed her. It did not let her go. And in the next life, when she came as Meerabhai, and she was born in the Rajput family in Jaipur, at that time when she took birth there, from early days itself, that strong impression inside about Krishna has come out. Nobody could stop that. The brothers tried, the parents tried, even she was married onto someone, he tried, it didn't work. It came out. And ultimately Meerabhai says that there is only one man in this whole world, that's Krishna. Everyone else is Prakriti, material nature. So like this you can see that devotees, when they reach that state of gopis and Meera and all that, they don't care for this world anymore. The laws of this world or the etiquette of this world does not bind them anymore. That's why it says here that bahava iha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. That just like birds who have no care for anything in this world, they live in this world without any care for anybody. That's what it is mentioned there. So, attachment to Krishna, which is called asakti, isn't it? Asakti is the word Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita also. If you look, word bhakti, Krishna uses sometimes the word asakti. My asaktamana partha yogam yunjan madashrayam. There is a chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see, my asakta mana partha. Asakti generally means attachment. Attachment to material things. That is what it is called asakti. If we say the word bhakti, people will find it difficult to understand. But if you say the word asakti, people will easily understand. Because it's a common word we used. I'm attached to something. So I'm attached to my car. I'm attached to my house. This is called asakti. Or attached to any person in this world. Wife, children. That's all attachment. Asakti it is called. So that asakti, Krishna is saying, directed towards me. My asakta mana partha. You make that attachment towards me. Yogam yunjan madashraya. If you do that, it has become the highest yoga system. Krishna says there. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that verse. So there, when Krishna's asakti, so gopis had asakti towards Krishna. It was not bhakti. This is what I'm saying. Initially, it was asakti. But that asakti turned into bhakti later. Do you understand what I'm saying? Asakti is different than bhakti. Asakti is towards material attraction to anything, attachment to different things in this world, or a man-woman attachment. This is all asakti. It is not bhakti. A man loves a woman or a woman loves a man, that is asakti, attachment. So it begins as attachment, and that asakti has later on turned into bhakti. That is what he says here. Itara raga visma aranam ranam athara veera haste atharamradam. Then in the Gobiya Gita, you will see some verses which talks about that, how that asakti is developing into bhakti. How the asakti developing into bhakti. That is why Krishna, the gopis are saying there, itara raga vismaranam nanam Atharavīranaste Atharāmatam. It says there in the 31st chapter that when Gaudiya Gītam was spoken, he says there that the Itararāga Vismāranam Nṛṇām. Itararāga Vismāranam Nṛṇām Atharavīranaste Atharāmatam. That is when Svirada Vardhanam Shoganashanam Sariswarida Venuna Sushtu Chumbidam Itararaga Vismaranam Nranam Vidara Viranaste Atharamradam. This is Gopi's realization. Gopis are saying here that when they started hearing Krishna playing the flute, what has happened to them? That flute which has been kissed by Krishna, when the sound comes through that flute, gopis are saying that their attachment for everything else is gone from inside. That is the power of Krishna's flute. That Surada Vardhanam Shoganashanam Surida Venuna Sushtu Chumbidam. Surada Vardhanam Shoganashanam. The flute, gopis are saying, Krishna's flute, when one hears that, Shoganashanam, it removes all the distress from inside. Surada Vardhanam, it creates tremendous attachment inside. And Sarida Venuna Sushtu Chumbidam, that flute which is always receiving Krishna's mercy, that Krishna has kissed that flute, and therefore it removes all kinds of attachment in this world. And when Krishna plays the flute, gopis are saying, Itararaga Vismaranam Nṛṇām, it takes away all other attachment in this world. Krishna had to do all this for the gopis. Whereas for the Viprabhatnis, it was not necessary. Why? Gopis were in a different state. In the Bhagavadam, if you look carefully, you will see in the 10th canto, there are three types of devotees. Devotees in Tamogunam, devotees in Rajogunam, devotees in Sattogunam. Three different types of devotees. Gopis are under the category of Tamogunam. Why? No Shastrajnanam, no knowledge of Shastram. Very much attracted to life in this world, busy in this world, that tamogunam nature. We are not trying to say that because they were in tamogunam doesn't mean that they are anyway inferior, that we should not think like that. See, this sattvam rajasa tamasa, we talk about it, but often we get the impression that tamogunam means something third class thing. No, we need tamogunam also. Without tamogunam you can't sleep at night, can you? You'll be working 24 hours. Now you're only working 10 hours. But if you are not a tamogunam, you'll be working 24 hours. And if you don't have rajogunam, you can't do anything in this world. You'll sit there like this 24 hours. If it's only purely sattogunam. So sattvam rajasa tamasa, all three gunams are necessary to function in this world. But tamogunam, when it is stronger in a person, naturally the desires will be different and the activities will be different. Similarly, Rajogunam, then desires will be different, activities will be different. In Sattugunam, if it is predominated by Sattugunam, the activity is different, Rajogunam will be different. So if you look into Bhagavatam carefully, you will see in the 10th canto, the first many chapters, which is referring to the gopis and Krishna's relationship, that Krishna had to elevate them from the state of Tamogunam to the pure devotee state. Then you see after that, a group of devotees, all the kings, Jarasandha, Shishuvala, Dandavakram, Rukmi, and many others who comes, all in the middle of Bhagavadam, they are all Rajogunis. All of them in the Rajogunam state, isn't it? All of them are kings, or all of them are very powerful people, personalities in this world, all required great... Krishna had to deal with them in the proper way, isn't it? But eventually they also got an opportunity. Shishubala went back to spiritual world, Kamsa went back to spiritual world, and many others. Jarasandha did not get that opportunity because Krishna made Bhimasena to kill Jarasandha. Did not give that opportunity for various reasons. So whatever it is, what you find in the Bhagavadam is a group of devotees who are in the mode of Rajogunam. Then later on, at the end of Bhagavadam, in the 10th canto, you will see devotees in the mood of Sattogunam. Who? Like Sudama. One. Shrutadeva and Bahulashwa. The Brahmana who lived in the village, and Bahulashwa, the king who ruled Mithila at that time. And then there were a few other devotees mentioned there who were also in the Sattvagunam. In the Sattvagunam, they were all given opportunity to go to the spiritual world. Krishnavataram, Krishna's appearance is a feast of liberation. Liberation, liberation, liberation. Whoever wants to go back, you also go, everybody. Eventually at the last minute, the hunter who shot the arrow, Krishna says, you also go back to the spiritual world. That is why Krishnavataram is so merciful. So much mercy Krishna has shown in that appearance that Krishna says anybody, whoever has come into contact with Krishna at that time, can go back to the spiritual world. Krishna gave the opportunity to everybody. So, itara raga vismaranam nranam adara viranaste adaramadam. Then Krishna says there, patisudanvaya, gopis are saying to Krishna, patisudanvaya bradrubhandava gedi vilangirin achyuta gadaham. Patisudanvaya bradrubhandava gedi vilangirin achyuta gadaha. Krishna's gopis are saying to Krishna that as far as we are concerned, we know only one thing. Our husband, son, and relatives, like brothers and all of the relatives, Gedi Vilangedin, the Achyuta Gadaham, all of them we gave them, our connection with them, we have broken completely. And we have come to you. Is that not what you have asked in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Varityajyam Amegam Sharanam Raja? That's what Krishna is saying to us, isn't it? Surrender everything and come to me, I'll accept you. Is that not what we have done? Krishna had no answer to the gopis. So Krishna had to teach the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and it had to come through gopis' mouth back to Krishna again. Krishna was making sure that they have understood the message. Patisudanvaya bradra bandhava gadi vilangyaden achyudaha gadaha gadi vidastavod idayo oshida. They are asking, what are we supposed to do? We have done what you have told us to do. We have given up our all connections, attachment in this world, and we have come to you. And now you are telling us to go away. What is the logic in that? Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam raja. What is the next line? Aham tvam sarva vabebhyo mokshayishyami mashuja. So you give one promise in the Bhagavad Gita, and then we have followed that. And now you are telling us that we should all go back and live in the family happily, comfortably with the husband, children and all that. Is that what you meant? So Krishna could not answer that question. That's why Krishna spoke at that time to the gopis and rewarded them with the blessing, mercy, that you will remain as our greatest devotees. And that was sufficient for them. How do you know that? Much, much later, after Krishna moved away to Mathura and later on to Dwaraka and all that, when the solar eclipse happened in Samanda Panchakam, if you remember that story, so big solar eclipse happened. Krishna traveled from Dwaraka with all the queens and all the associates, a huge procession from Dwaraka to Kurukshetram. That's where this solar eclipse happened. And they all went there to bathe. From all over the world, people went there at that time because Krishna was present there. In that meeting, all the gopis have gone there. By now, gopis have become very old. They have become very old. And cowherd men, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, they all went there to see their old Krishna, who is now a big emperor living in Dwaraka. At that meeting, when they went to Samanda Panchakam in Kurukshetram, when in that solar eclipse, what did Krishna do? Krishna made elaborate arrangements for everyone who had come there. Those who have come from Mathura, those who have come from Vrindavanam, Krishna made sure that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were arranged to stay with Vasudeva and Devaki, so they could talk to each other from their past life. And then many cowherd men had separate facilities to stay, and they could meet with Krishna's relatives from Dwaraka, and they had the opportunity to meet each other. But gopis alone, Krishna kept them separately. He didn't mix them with anybody, not even with Krishna's wives. They all stayed separate. Later on, they were introduced to the wives, and they had a conversation. That is there in the Bhagavatam. But prior to that, there is a discussion between Krishna and the gopis about self-realization. You will be amazed to see Krishna is discussing self-realization with the gopis. No shastric knowledge. Krishna was making sure that bhakti, what they had developed in Vrindavanam, has completely matured and they have come to the state of pure self-realized state has happened to them. That is why you will notice some verses there in the Bhagavatam later. In that meeting where gopis are talking to Krishna such things that you will be amazed by their knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the self-realization, knowledge of self-realization. So Krishna had to do all these things with the gopis, whereas with the Viprapatnis nothing was necessary. This important thing you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very interesting thing when you see that devotee, Krishna has to take care. Krishna has to do, because it's not that we have to do everything. We have to do what we can do. But Krishna has also to do some things from Krishna's side, and Krishna knows about that. That's why he says there, Itara raga visma padisudha anvaya bradra bandhava gidi vilangirin achyudaha gadaha. So, bhakti means this, once you get caught in that net of Krishna, once you get caught in the net of Krishna, in due course of time, the devotee will forget all sense enjoyment in this world. Not that he is trying to forcefully forget them, but the sense enjoyment will leave him and go. He won't find any attraction for that. That is what happens to a devotee. This is the difference between a jnani and a bhakta. A jnani forcefully controls everything. If he has attachment, he develops vairagyam, renunciation, detachment inside. And all attraction for material life completely, he forcefully pulls out of it. And he stays strong in his determination with the intelligence. But bhakta, devotee, doesn't have that strength. So that Krishna has to give it to the devotee. That is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. If you look, verse 19. Yathagni susamardharchi karoti edhamsi bhasmasad tadamad vishaya bhaktya uddhavai namsi krishnashaha. It's a very important verse in the Bhagavatam. That yathagni susamardharchi karoti edhamsi bhasmasad tadamad vishaya bhakti uddhavai namsi krishnashaha. Krishna says here, Uddhava, when you are cooking food, you use the firewood. Those days it was firewood. Now it's gas, isn't it? But those days it was firewood. So that fire you have created for cooking, what happens? Eventually, karothedamsi basmasan, all that wood will burn and it will become ashes. It will turn into ashes. Similarly, bhakti, Krishna says, the bhakti inside, even it is has got ragadvesham in there, there is attachment, aversion and all that in that bhakti. Eventually, that bhakti will burn like the firewood, even that ragadvesham inside. All the vasanas inside will be burned by bhakti. That is the importance there. Just like when you are cooking the firewood, it cooks and eventually the wood itself burns into ashes. Similarly, bhakti is such a powerful thing that it will burn everything, it will burn everything, and eventually it will even burn, if there is any ragadvesham inside, even that will be burned. That's how it is. Bhakti is, Krishna has a special soft corner for bhakti. That's what he says here. Yadhagni susamardha archi karyothi edamsi basmasad tadamad vishaya bhaktya udhavai nasi krishnasham. That bhakti is powerful nature, Krishna says. That fire which is burning very well, when it turns, similarly, bhakti will even burn all the sinful propensities in us, sinful vasanas inside. And that is why, if you look into Narada Bhakti Sutram, what does Sri Narada Maharshi says? Beating on his chest, he's saying, Tadeva sadhyadam, tadeva sadhyadam. Bhakti, bhakti alone can do that, nothing else, he says. That is why jnana margam, yoga margam, karma margam, they are all great programs, no doubt about that. But if this bhakti is not there, even those people who are following that process, even that may not reach perfection in their spiritual life. Bhakti is powerful position. Krishna wants to stress again and again. That's why he says here that the tadamad vishaya bhakti uddhavai namsi krishnasham. So he says here that bhakti tadeva sadhyadam, tadeva sadhyadam. Narada Maharshi spoke in a very simple words. Tadeva sadhyatam, tadeva sadhyatam. The sutram is like that. Only by bhakti alone it will happen. No other way, he says there. And through that bhakti, what kind of bhakti? Somehow or the other, you have to develop that bhakti. How? Through salsangam. Through anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means continuous remembrance of Krishna and pursuance of the spiritual realization. And rubadhyanam, worshipping the deity. And deity worship. And chanting the holy name. Above everything else, sadhu sangam. Association with the devotees. If you do like that, Krishna says here, somehow or the other, Uddhava, acquire that bhakti inside. Acquire that bhakti inside. And this is Krishna's message to this world. Actually, all these things what Krishna has spoken has been experienced and tested and proven correct in this world. There is no doubt about that. Many, many histories, if you look back into the history, all the great devotees, they have gone through this. But the problem is that when you want to follow this route, many problems also happens in this world. In bhakti, that is also there. That you may end up in the wrong association, you may end up in the wrong situations like that. So that is why it's spoken like that, that bhakti is like a mother. It will protect the jiva, just like a mother protects the child. Vaja shanga bhavana rakshati, mother bhakti. Bhagavad bhavam, Bhagavad bhavana, that means that just like a mother puts the little baby in the swing and puts the baby to sleep by singing the songs or in different ways, exactly like that way, that the bhakti, mother, bhakti is put the devotee in that state and put that into the, and protect him from all other influences. It says in the Bhagavatam like that. So then in order to prove that, Krishna says, na sadhayadi mam yogo, na sankhyam dharma uddhava, na swadhyayam tapas tyagam yadha bhaktir mamorjidaham. Krishna says there, na sadhayadi mam yogo, the way bhakti catches me, bhakti controls me, na sadhayadi mam yogo, no yoga can get me in that way, na sankhyam, not even sankhyam, sankhya philosophy, cannot, jnana margam, cannot get me. Dharmam, uddhavam, uddhava, even dharmam cannot get me there. Na swadhyayam, not even studying shastram. And tapasya tyagam, austerities and penances, sacrifices. Yadha bhaktir mama orjidaham. None of them can get closer to me, unlike through bhakti. That is the point Krishna wants to stress here. That anusandhanam, or the contemplation, Krishna says here, that form and Krishna's pastimes, and if one continuously do anusandhanam, anusandhanam means constantly remembering about Krishna's pastime. That means we have to hear about Krishna's pastimes. Not simply hear them, but by through that hearing process, it has to get inside. Inside means it should capture our attention. And in order to capture that attention, Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam in a particular way. That you will know when you start analyzing the verses in the 10th canto, you can see the profound messages that coming through those verses. It will also elevate you from your spiritual understanding of the spirit soul's obligation towards Krishna. That is that anusandhanam, or following up of the verses in the 10th canto, how it creates the jnanarasam. Jnanarasam means the experience or realization what you get through the process of knowledge. And you will understand at that point jnanam and bhakti are non-different. At that point you will recognize that. It is spoken in the bhakta's language in the Dashamaskandam, in the 10th canto. It is spoken in a bhakta's language with a great message inside that of jnanam, knowledge. So jnanam and bhakti becomes one there in the Dashamaskandam, in the 10th canto. Normally people hear Dashamaskandam, 10th canto, and think, oh, this is just a few stories in the Bhagavatam. I know all the stories. So what? What has happened then after that? Nothing has happened. But that is not what is intended for. This is why we are saying, Dashamaskandam, if you study properly, it is the most, the greatest skandam in the Bhagavatam, 90 chapters talking about Krishna, 90 chapters about Krishna, and Parikshit wanted to hear, and spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, the greatest jnani. Jnani is talking to Parikshit, and the interesting thing here is that jnani Sukadeva Goswami is presenting all that jnanam knowledge there through this process of bhakti to attract Parikshit. That is the success of 10th canto. 10th canto success is, jnanam is there, but when jnanam is delivered on a plate, it is not easy to taste that. But when it is done through bhakti, jnanam and bhakti becomes one there, and Parikshit is relishing that 10th canto for this reason. And this is where we have to understand Bhagavatam like that. You forget the whole world in that process. Nada sadhayati mam yogo na sanghyam dharma uddhavam urjita bhakti. Bhakti has become so powerful, or when it turns completely towards Krishna, how quickly a soul gets elevated, that you can see. And that, Krishna says, cannot be done by any other yoga process. This is the proof of that. That 10th canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying that if you understand that properly, not the story alone, story is there, but the story, through stories and pastimes, Sukadeva Goswami is saying something more, a lot more to it, through the process of these stories, what are spoken in the Bhagavatam. Right from the day one, if you start looking at that 10th canto, you will notice this. Kadido vamsha vistaro Bhagavan soma surya yoho. That beginning of Bhagavatam 10th canto is like that. After hearing 9 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to finish Bhagavatam there. That you don't have to ask anyone, it is there, proof is there in the Bhagavatam. If you look Bhagavatam, you will see this. 10th canto, with the 9 cantos, Bhagavatam is finished. Bhagavatam is finished on the end of 9th canto. And what did Sukadeva Goswami do at that time? He summarized the 10th and 11th canto and 12th canto in one verse. In one verse, and spoke to Parikshit. Parikshit heard that. When he heard that, he started sensing that, what is Sukadeva Goswami up to now? He said he has been talking about so many things, but he never spoke to me about Krishna. Why not? This question came up in Parikshit's mind. And that is how, immediately when 10th canto started, Parikshit started questioning Sukadeva Goswami, why did you not talk to me about Krishna? This question you can... Prochodhyavaya param samagat swadhama. Krishna says, Uddhava, Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, after this 9th canto, talking about appearance of Vasudev, Devaki, the marriage, in a very short way, about the marriage was spoken, and then said that these are the kings who were born, or the great personalities who were born among the Kauravas, and they all have fought this great war in Mahabharata, and after the war they were all killed and everything was over. And Krishna, after the war was over, he spoke Ekadasya Skandam to Uddhava, and after giving instructions to him on spiritual life, he left this world and went back to the spiritual world. This is how 9th canto finishes. So immediately you can see there that Sukadeva Goswami did not want to continue. He wanted to stop there. First thing he wanted to find out, has Parikshit the genuine seriousness still? By now 5 days have gone. 5 days Parikshit hasn't taken any food. 5 days. Which is quite a long time, isn't it? 5 days. We can wait for an hour or two, but after that, our interest in the Bhagavatam, somebody will say, where is Jalebi now? So, that's our attachment. Our attachment is like that. So, this is where we stand. 5 days have gone without food. If we stop 5 days, no prasadam in the Bhaktivedanta manor, what will happen? What will happen? Not Bhaktivedanta, any temple for that matter. If you 5 days, if you stop food, there is no prasadam for devotees. I wonder how many people you will see there at that time. So that is how our situation is like. Here is Parikshit sitting there. 5 days he hasn't had anything. Not a food, no drink either. Nothing to drink and nothing to eat. And he really wanted to know, is he still here? He wants to know about Krishna. This is Sudeva Goswami's situation. He really wants to know, does he want to hear about Krishna? And only at that time, when he realized that Parikshit is saying to him, hunger and thirst is not disturbing me, talk to me about Krishna. When these words came from Parikshit's mouth, Sudeva Goswami congratulates him, glorifies him, and says to him that you are the right candidate to hear about the spiritual knowledge, the spiritual realization. And then, in a very palatable way, through all those pastimes of Krishna's childhood pastimes and the pastimes in Vrindavanam, Mathura, Dwaraka, everywhere, Sudeva Goswami presents to Parikshit about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, some people ask sometimes, which is the most important canto in the Bhagavatam? If you genuinely ask that question, the correct answer is 10th canto. But 11th canto is knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, what Krishna has instructed to Uddhava. It is 11th canto, no doubt about that. And 11th canto is something difficult to realize as well, isn't it? If you look into 11th canto, it's not easy. It's not easy. Each and every verse, if you start studying the 11th canto, you will see that the great difficulty what we have in understanding this, or understanding means even realizing it, is very extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. 24 spiritual masters has been spoken there. Out of that 24 spiritual masters, even one spiritual master, if you can follow properly, then you will say life is success. Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham, Avam, Agni, Chandran, Ravi, Kapodam, Ajagaram, Sindhu, Padangam, Madhugar, Gaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Arbhaga, Kumari, Sharavat, Sarpam, Urnanabhi, Subheshikar. 24 spiritual masters mentioned there. Dattatreya Maharshi was successful in hearing all the 24 spiritual masters and he realized all of them. For us, even one spiritual master is difficult. One spiritual master is difficult. So it is difficult. Ekadasha Skandam is very, very difficult for us. But on the other hand, because it was the last message Krishna has given to this world, and because it was spoken to the greatest devotee, Uddhava, who heard this from Krishna, and Krishna says there, at the end of Ekadasham, you will notice this specific statement in the Bhagavadam, Jnanamritam Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. The words of Sudeva Goswami is like, Jnanamritam. He says, the nectar of knowledge, which you won't find anywhere else in this whole world. Such is the knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam. Jnanamritam Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. And it was spoken to hear, Krishna has spoken for a devotee like Uddhava. Isn't it? Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. So because it is like that, it cannot be avoided. You have to give attention to that. Because there are many things in the Ekadasha Skandam which will help a person in spiritual life, even if one cannot completely realize that in this life. Because it is like that, Krishna is present in the 10th canto completely from beginning to end. It is Krishna. And because we can relate with Krishna more through the 10th canto, it is difficult to connect with Krishna through the 11th canto. The Krishna in the 11th canto is speaking as the Jagadguru, Supreme Spiritual Master. Whereas Krishna in the 10th canto is relating with the devotees in a nice way. So you see all the devotees who appear in the 10th canto, whose relationship with Krishna was on a different levels. Some devotees you like there, some devotees you don't like there. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice all these things. All the devotees had different relationships with Krishna. In the 10th canto, you will see that. So that kind of relationship is understandable. And also, it is possible to some extent to get inspiration from that in our spiritual life. It is possible. Many, many devotees, they were attracted to Krishna's childhood pastimes only. So first chapter to eighth or ninth chapter, it's all Krishna's childhood. So those who have that relationship with Krishna, they will simply read those chapters and take immense pleasure from those pastimes. Those who are attracted by Krishna's relationship with the gopis, Madhurya Bhavam, with the gopis, they will find attraction in those chapters. Those who are attracted to Krishna's relationship with Rukmini and all the other queens who lived in Dwaraka with Krishna, their relationship, they'll get attracted to that. Everyone will find something in the 10th canto, attracted by the beauty of bhakti there. Beauty of bhakti there. So that's why Krishna says here, that bhakti that alone, in simple terms, becomes a cause of liberation for the devotee. So that bhakti will develop into in anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means persuasions in that way, that if you get that bhakti, Krishna says you have escaped from this world. That is what is the next verse. Bhakti ahamekaya agrahya shraddhayalpa priya sadam bhakti punadi mannishta shobhagana bisambhavad. This is an important verse. Krishna is saying there, Bhaktiya hamegaya grahyam shardhayalma priya sadam bhakti punadi mannishta shobhagana bisambhava. Krishna says here that the for devotees who is more dear to them, that they capture me through bhakti and through their attention and shraddha and their pure devotion, they capture me. And that bhakti, Krishna says, bhakti punadi mannishta shobhagana bisambhavat. Shobhagana bisambhavat means, even if he is a dog eater, even if he is a dog eater, this bhakti can purify him. Krishna is saying, even if he is a dog eater, this bhakti can purify him and bring, he will come closer to me. There are many, many stories related to great devotees like that. They came from very difficult situations. But when bhakti develops, why Krishna is saying all this thing is that bhakti doesn't require any qualification. Jnanam require qualification, isn't it? Jnanam, yogam, karmam all require qualifications, as you know. Jnanamargam is not accessible to everybody, isn't it? Why? Jnanamargam requires, first they say, if you go into that process, they'll tell you, Atma and Atma Vivegam. First means before you come to study Shastram, you should yourself know how to discriminate between the permanent and the temporary. That should know what is soul, what is matter. And you should also not just know that Vivegam discrimination must have happened to you already. That is why Atman Atma Vivegam they call it. Then what else do they say? Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam. Nitya means something that is permanent and something that is temporary, which means body and the soul. Body is temporary, soul is permanent. That is that Vivekam, discrimination capacity between the two. That's necessary. Ihamutra bhale bhoga viragam. Detachment from everything in this world. No attraction for any happiness in this world. Shama damadi shal sambati. Shamam damam tidusha ubaradi shraddha samadhanam. Six different things what we require in our consciousness. And above all, mukshatvam, intense desire for liberation. If you have all these things, Krishna says, come to Jnanamargam. We can make progress there. So there you require qualification. Yoga margam, if you take to that, Ashtanga Yogam or any process, you have to be very strong in your determination to practice. You need a guru who can teach you all the yoga process perfectly well. You require that. There's a lot of handicaps there as well. Karma margam, if you follow, there is a problem there that it is very difficult to get rid of oneself from the doership. That is the most difficult thing. Enjoyership, you can somehow minimize it. But doership, not possible. You want to be, you will always be the doer. I am the doer. I am the doer. Hardly in this world people find, most difficult thing is this doership, to get out of it. So all the other yoga process has these difficulties. In bhakti process, Krishna says, you don't need any qualification. Anyone can come to bhakti process, but the only thing they require is surrender. And that's where all the problem also. So we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss it.